The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his followers came into Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho, together with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus' son, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him forward." They called the blind man. He encouraged, "Get up, he's calling you." Throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." At once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So, what do I say this time? I began serving in this congregation in 2018. 11 times in 8 years, I've had the challenge of chucking the sermon I wrote earlier in the week to reflect on some new gun violence. And to do so in the context of faith in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Frankly, I don't have anything new to say. And I disagree entirely with the news reports from Pittsburgh that claim the nation is shocked and stunned by yesterday's massacre of 11 praying people in the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. No, Americans are not shocked and stunned by this gun violence. We are no longer surprised. We may be glad it wasn't here. But other than that, we're almost numb to these reports. If we are not very careful, Americans will soon be resigned to violence. One of the most logical observations about life that I can make, and I make it often, just ask my vestry, is that every system is perfectly designed to get the results it's already getting. The system we have now for dealing with random violence by bad guys is to mete out even more calculated violence by good guys, by police, armed guards, by capital punishment. And the system we have now will keep getting us what we've got: violence, unrelenting, perpetual, unsurprising violence. Do we really want it that way? Or maybe we're just going to resign ourselves to this being the system that we've got. What do you think Jesus would do? Would he resign himself to this violent system? And yet another intersection of a 2,000-year-old story with today's newspapers, today's gospel lesson is about God's eternal way versus our way today. Jesus is on the road from Jericho up to Jerusalem, a walk of about 18 miles. It's an easy day's journey for people who walk a lot, as Jesus and his disciples do. Shortly after today's story, Jesus will walk the last few miles to Jerusalem and will ask his friends to fetch him a donkey to ride into the city. In that procession we know as Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. In other words, less than a week after Jesus talks to Bartimaeus, Jesus will be dead. He will be dead, condemned by priests, and executed perfectly legally by the Roman criminal justice system. Western civilization has adopted a lot from the Roman Empire, and one of them is to get rid of trouble, you eradicate troublemakers. And Jesus was a troublemaker. Jesus has already told his disciples 3 times that this is what will happen. That is how predictable the system works. But all that comes later. Today, a big crowd is walking along the road with Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus is sitting in his usual spot by the side of the road, begging for money from anybody and everybody so that he can eat for another day. Bartimaeus is such a nobody that we don't even know his own name. He's just the son. Bar in Aramaic means son, the son of Timaeus. He's a nobody. But he isn't hopeless. He isn't resigned to this situation. Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus using the most magnificent title for him, Son of David, son of the mightiest king ever of Israel, the one God favored, the one who wrote or inspired all those psalms about God's justice, about healing for the blind, the poor, the orphans, the strangers. Blind Bartimaeus is the first person to call Jesus the Son of David. Bartimaeus cries out and is summarily shushed by the crowd. Pish, you're a poor loser, Bartimaeus. Stop bothering the important people. But Bartimaeus will not be resigned. He will not be quiet. He has this hope that maybe things can be different if he acts and he trusts his God, the God of justice and mercy, will hear him. He cries out louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. The Son of David hears and listens. Those are not the same thing. And he calls that loser to come to him. And by his mere recognition of a nobody, Jesus begins to change things. The crowd responds by saying to Bartimaeus, you're no longer a loser. Be encouraged. Get up. He's calling you. Bartimaeus throws off his coat, which may be the most valuable possession he owns. Just as Simon and Andrew, James and John threw off their fishing nets, and like them, Bartimaeus immediately jumps to go to Jesus' side. Jesus gives Bartimaeus the ultimate dignity of asking him what he wants. He doesn't impose. He listens. Now, what would a poor person be most likely to ask for? What do they ask for standing on the intersections on 19 and on the interstate ramps? What do they ask for? Money. We'll work for food, shelter. Those are all things that will solve the blind man's problems for a while. But Bartimaeus wants something life-changing and impossible. He wants to see. He wants the very system he has lived with all his life to be upended. He trusts that the God of David can and will open the eyes of the blind. That's what faith means in Greek, by the way, is trust, utter, absolute trust. Notice that in this story, Jesus never touches Bartimaeus. There's a story just a couple chapters earlier where Jesus takes mud, dust, and he spits in it, and he makes a poultice, and he smears it on a guy's eyes. Ew. And something like scales falls from his eyes. That was obviously a very physical healing. Bartimaeus' blindness seems to be of a different kind, a spiritual kind. And to be healed, Bartimaeus needs to trust, to have faith in God's mercy. It is trust that heals Bartimaeus, that makes him healthy, whole, and holy. And as soon as his eyes are open, Bartimaeus follows Jesus on the way. Did you know that the earliest label for the followers of Jesus wasn't Christian or even church? It was people of the way. Bartimaeus now has the sight he needs to leave everything and follow Jesus on the way. The way that was taking Jesus straight to the cross to be crucified. Eradicated for bucking a system grounded in violence and the elitism, corruption, and oppression that always comes with it. I think the most remarkable thing about Bartimaeus is that he knew what was wrong with him. In that, he is far ahead of many of us. He knew his problem wasn't other people. How many of you know people whose problems are always caused by somebody else. It wasn't physical hunger or lack of money that were Bartimaeus' problem. It was in himself. He knew he needed to change and be changed. He was willing to change. He refused to be resigned to the way things were, to be complicit in his own oppression by the system. He refused to be shushed. He refused to think of himself as a nobody, unworthy of God's care and transforming power. He cried out for God's mercy, for his life to be changed into eternal life, the life of the Eternal One, the life that we are meant to live on earth. Bartimaeus dared this because his Jewish faith taught him to hope, as found in the prophecies of Jeremiah, that God's mercy and eternal life are for everyone. Everyone, even the losers and the nobodies, the blind, the disabled, vulnerable women and children, all would be welcomed home and beloved of God. Bartimaeus' Jewish faith taught him the hope he found in the Psalms. The Psalm today is a joyful song of the exiles, people who had been sent far away from their land, who suffered deportation, oppression, denigration for their faith. And these Jews, following the way of God, are now coming home with joy. Here in this place, most of us are Christians, taught the same hopes as Bartimaeus was taught. And just so, we are all Bartimaeus. Each one of us here is in some way spiritually blind, unable fully to be people of the way. What does our Christian faith teach us to hope for? Will we cry out for God's mercy, to ask to be changed, to live eternal life? Can we each dare to be honest with ourselves about what in us needs to be changed? It's hard to see your own faults. We're very self-protective and defensive. But it's the only way forward is to look at ourselves honestly and with courage. If you're willing to change, if you're willing to look at yourself, I guarantee that the change you discern will come from one of just a few sources. One is something you fear, a visceral fear, and probably one you were carefully taught. Taught about other groups or nations or values. And now, it's not just a fear, but an entrenched prejudice against others. It may be something that's an unpleasant or oppressive reality that you resigned yourself to. You've just accepted that nothing can be different. You wouldn't know how it would be if you changed, and so you don't want to. And that's the real one, isn't it? The things we actually don't want to let go of. The things that, like the rich man a couple of weeks ago, who had so many possessions and loved him so much that he turned his back on Jesus instead of following the way. We don't want to see those things, but until that spiritual blindness is taken away, we cannot fully follow the one we call Lord. What is it in each of us that needs to be changed by our transforming God? What does God promise that makes us trust in our God so much that it might heal us from being resigned to a system that actually works against God's will for the earth? God's will for the earth is justice, peace, love, joy, hope, holiness, and wholeness. That is the life of the Eternal One in heaven, and that's the life we are called to. What in you needs to be changed? I will not answer that question for anyone but me, because there is only one person that I can change. And to change, I beg that Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me and heal me. The one thing that is different for all of us than it was for our brother Bartimaeus is that here in this place, no one seeking God's healing will be shushed. Here in this place, everyone seeking Christ's healing will hear this. Be encouraged. Get up. He is calling you. So, what do you want Jesus to do for you?